It is 2:30 on Thursday, June 25th. My name is Terry Dressler, and I am the chairman of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. I'm going to call this meeting to order on June 25th, 2026 at 2:30. Please note, everyone, that this meeting is being recorded. Today's matter of business is a 90-day variance request for Sable Offshore Corp. for Platform Heritage, case number 202607N. The petition is requesting coverage from District Rule 206, Part 70 permit to operate 9102R7, conditions 9C3A, 9C3B1, and 9C18. These conditions are related to unplanned flaring only. So before we get into the case itself, I have one matter to deal with that is not having to do with the technical aspects of this case. On June 18th, we received from Jeremy Nichols from the Center of Biological Diversity a request for a continuance for case 206-07M. In accordance with District Rule 516, the hearing board shall grant any continuance of 15 days or less if concurred by the petitioner and the control officer. At this time, I will ask the petitioner and the district and if they agree to a continuance for case number 202607.
Val Vu for the petitioner, we object to the continuance.
All right. District?
We also object to the continuance.
You have to state your name, please.
Sorry, thank you. Caitlin McNally, Compliance Division Manager with the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District, and I'm representing the control officer, and we also object to the continuance request.
All right. I have two objections from both parties. As allowed for in the continuance sections, the hearing board policies and procedures, those present and interested in this matter shall be given an opportunity to comment on the requested continuance. So there's going to be an opportunity here to comment on the continuance hearing only for right now. For the rest of the, there will be another comment period for the rest of the case. Have there been any speaker slips submitted for the continuance aspect of this case?
No, there have not.
And just to make sure, does anybody want to speak to the continuance?
Linda Croft, Environmental Defense Center. I would support the continuance. I know that the organization that requested the continuance submitted something in writing, but they would very much like to participate in person as well.
Thank you. Any other comments?
The district does have more reasons for objecting to the continuance if you'd like to have those spelled out.
Okay.
My name is Caitlin McNally. I'm representing the control officer of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District. And there are two reasons that we do not concur with the request for continuance. The first is due to the timing of the period of variance coverage. During the hearing for the interim variance for this same issue, it was clarified that the variance coverage is only needed through the end of the quarter, which is June 30th, and not through August 20th, which was identified in the petition. And therefore, if the variance hearing is continued, it's likely that it would not occur, be conducted before the end of the period that they need variance relief for. And the district recommends conducting the hearing before the variance coverage period ends. The second reason is that our understanding is that the main basis for the continuance request is associated with the concurrent request they made to be recognized and as an interested party in the variance hearing. And our understanding is that members of the public do not have the same rights afforded to the parties under District Rule 513, and therefore they would not be a party to the variance.
Right.
And bow vu for the petitioner, we'll just also add that we agree with those statements and that we submitted written responses to the request for continuance, and we understand those to be part of the public record. So we'd incorporate by reference arguments there, which also include the fact that CB is not a party and not entitled to request continuance.
I will order that those comments be part of the record.
Thank you.
All right. I will close the public comment period for this item. And based on that, on what I've just heard, I will deny the request for continuance. All right, so the next thing that's going to happen here is I'm going to swear in anybody who's going to give testimony today. It's not necessary for you to take the oath if you're going to provide comments. However, if you are going to provide testimony on the salient aspects of the findings that have to be made in order to grant this variance, then I will have you please take the oath. So if you're going to take the oath right now, please stand and raise your right hand. All right. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And before you all say, I do, I would like you to do it one at a time and state your name for the record and then affirm the oath.
I do, Patrice Surmeyer for Sable.
I do, Jeff Patterson, Sable.
I do, Amy Long with the district.
I do, Kevin Brown, AOG. I do, Alan Hazel, Sable.
I do, Caitlin McNally with the district.
I do, Eric.
Thank you. Before I ask the petitioner to deliver their testimony, I want to be very clear here what my responsibility here as the hearing officer is. Before I can grant this variance, I have to make six findings. And those findings can be based only on what I hear today at this hearing. And so I have to hear under oath all the evidence necessary for me to make each one of these findings. Now I'm going to read these findings out loud so that everybody is clear as to what they are. The first finding I have to make is that the petitioner for the variance is or will be in violation. It's a very simple one. It's typically met by the petitioner testifying under oath that they are or will be in violation. Finding number two is that due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in either an arbitrary and unreasonable taking of property or the practical closing and elimination of a life of a lawful business. Finding number three, that the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit to reducing air contaminants. Finding number four, that the petitioner for the variance has given consideration to curtailing operations for the source in lieu of obtaining a variance. Finding number five, that during the period of the variance is in effect, the petition will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Finding number six, during the period the variance is in effect, that the petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emission levels from the source if requested to do so by the district, and report these emission levels to the district pursuant to a schedule established by the district. There is also a finding that is an implied finding, and the reason it's an implied finding is that it's not one delineated in the list of six findings. is that as a hearing board as a whole, and as the chair of the hearing board in this hearing, I am prohibited from issuing a variance if it is likely that the excess emissions produced by the variance would cause a public air pollution nuisance. So those are the findings that have to be made, and I have to hear all the evidence to make those findings here today, and not base them on any other evidence that I might have received in the petition or any other kind of communication. All right. I would like to turn this over to the petitioner to please state your case and explain why you need the variance and why I should do it.
Thank you. Good morning, or good afternoon, Chair Dressler. My name is Patrice Surmeyer. I'm the Senior Regulatory and Compliance Supervisor for Sable Offshore, and I'm here today to respectfully request a 90-day variance to allow the continued operation of Heritage during this quarter. Heritage is located in the Outer Continental Shelf, approximately 8 miles from shore. The flare system incinerates gases from compressors, gas conditioning systems, pressure relief devices on vessels, and pipeline pigging operations during upset and or maintenance conditions. Its operation is necessary for the safe operation of the platform to ensure gases during upset or maintenance conditions are incinerated prior to release. The district issued Air Quality Permit 5651, Revision 7 to ExxonMobil in 2023. The district transferred that permit to Sable in 2024. This permit was validly issued and remains in effect governing the current operations. No permit modifications are required or requested to conform with the district's variance process. On May 22, 2026, Sable submitted to the district a 90-day and interim variance petition application reporting that Sable was seeking relief from enforcement due to the anticipated noncompliance with the following permit 9102, Revision 7, Condition 9C3A and 9C318 related to emission limits, as well as 93CABI related to flaring volumes. These anticipated exceedances were due to Heritage's unplanned flaring during the second quarter of this year. Specifically, 9C3A requires mass emissions to not exceed certain quarterly values. 9CA3BI requires unplanned volumes of flaring to not exceed 8.5 million scf's per quarter. 9C18 reiterates the quarterly unplanned flaring emissions that should not exceed those values listed in condition 9C3A. On May 22nd was the date the quarterly emissions The quarterly limits were first exceeded, the same day that the variance petition was filed with the district. Including today, the period of noncompliance has been 35 days and will continue through the end of the quarter for a total of 40 days of noncompliance. On July 1st, with the start of the new quarter, the facility will be back in compliance with these quarterly emissions and unplanned flaring volume limits. Sable does not expect to have similar issues related to unplanned flare volumes next quarter due to the actions I will discuss. Sable completed a number of operational and equipment improvements to address the compliance issues. Sable is providing the following information to demonstrate findings 2, part 1, noncompliance due to conditions beyond the applicant's reasonable control. Sable made diligent efforts to ensure a safe and successful restart in compliance with the source's air permit. The conditions experienced during restart were beyond the reasonable expectations of the restart team. Sable relied on industry, geological, and oil and gas engineering experts' assessment to determine that the platform was safe and appropriate to restart. I will discuss those upfront efforts that were taken to avoid noncompliance, and then I will describe the situations experienced and how Sable worked diligently to reduce sources of flaring, and ultimately how Sable sought in a timely manner variance relief once it became clear that the quarterly limits would be exceeded. Because of our diligence during the recommissioning phase, as well as the unexpected variability in restart operating conditions, noncompliance was beyond our reasonable control, as I will now describe in detail. First, let me discuss the efforts to ensure compliance with permit limits during recommissioning. Recommissioning work at the platform took over a year to complete. Over $110 million were spent to ensure equipment was in proper operating condition. Sable had on the order of 182 persons on board performing the work. At least 15 different subject matter expert companies were brought in to assist this complicated recommissioning effort. The platform was broken into individual systems based on service. Each system was walked down by subject matter experts, mechanical, operations, rotating equipment, electrical, instrumentation, for example, those kind of experts. Every component, valves, indicators, transmitters, motors, pumps, compressors, piping, etc., were inspected, calibrated, test ran, and overhauled. All the equipment was then leak tested with nitrogen at 95% of the maximum working pressure of the systems. All of the systems were inspected for corrosion. Sable had many lessons learned from the startup of Las Flores Canyon, LFC, and Harmony, and these were incorporated into the restart planning for Heritage. Harmony and Las Flores Canyon followed different recommissioning models. Las Flores Canyon used a recommissioning contract company whose teams were specifically trained to perform facility restarts. Harmony, alternatively, relied on a team of craft experts, that is, operations and maintenance personnel with skills and required crafts, but not particularly in restart planning. The recommissioning team model was much more successful due to more systematic recommissioning procedures and processes, as well as because they retained contractors who were expert in restarting idle facilities. For this reason, the LFC model was used for Heritage. We also brought in additional expert contractors and consultants for the Heritage restart team, particularly new experts in rotating equipment recommissioning, that is like compressors, was retained to avoid issues that Harmony experienced in compressor restarts. Sable also conducted extensive well surveys to evaluate well status and condition. Personnel involved in these evaluations were experts in their field with an average of 30 years of reservoir, geology, operations, and completion experience. The evaluation included performing fluid level diagnostic surveys to confirm mechanical integrity of the production tubing, as well as casing diagnostic surveys and bleed down studies. Additionally, the team reviewed current reservoir data and past reservoir performance to predict well performance. Analysis included data from fluid level diagnostic surveys to identify pre-restart reservoir pressures. These studies indicated that there would be sweet gas well production. Sweet gas is necessary for combustion fuel for the central process heater, which provides the heat to process and condition the natural gas. Secondly, I'd like to discuss how unexpected variability in operating conditions caused non-compliance that were beyond our reasonable control. Restart well production began on March 31st, 2026. Despite the recommissioning efforts, Heritage experienced an unexpected number of equipment malfunctions, onshore to offshore production balancing issues, and well production issues that were outside of Sable's reasonable control and resulted in excess unplanned emissions. For example, in respect to our equipment, although there was proper recommissioning testing, once equipment was in operation, it was subject to different temperatures and pressures as well as vibration, which may cause unexpected issues. Initial Heritage operations experienced an unexpected number of equipment issues. Each time one of these situations occurred, unplanned flaring was necessary to depressurize the equipment consistent with the facility's safety design while work was done on the equipment. Although every pressure safety valve was pressure tested prior to startup, once the system was brought online, flaring occurred due to PSVs leaking into the flare system. The entire flare system was checked multiple times using an IR camera to determine which PSVs were leaking into the header. An IR camera detects the temperature difference, which is an indicative of flow. Sable maintained two PSV specialty contractors on the platform for a month and a half following restart to address any issues. 13 PSVs were found to be leaking and repaired. Also, there was flaring related to trips from trying to move unexpectedly cold Sakata crude, which is very viscous. This situation naturally resolved itself as the emulsion flow improved, although operating adjustments were made to try to address the issue. As a final example with respect to equipment issues, there was unforeseen compressor-related flaring. The compressors experienced unplanned shutdowns due to internal recycle valve issues, lube oil system concerns, and other similar rotating equipment issues. Each related issue resulted in some flaring that was necessary to allow the equipment to be expeditiously repaired. As you will see by these examples, we have diligently taken actions to address and prevent reoccurrence of these unexpected equipment issues. We also experienced unexpected production balancing issues that led to flaring. For context, because the offshore and onshore facilities operate as a fully integrated production system, constraints at the onshore facility directly impact the amount of production that can be safely produced offshore. When there is a balancing issue that causes Heritage to stop or curtail operation, this caused unexpected flaring. For example, Las Flores Canyon experienced unexpected onshore separation issues, oil and water separation issues, that affected offshore operations. The cause was traced back to the failure of Heritage's scale inhibitor pump, which allowed emulsion to enter LFC facility without proper scale inhibition levels. Without the proper scale inhibition, scale separates from the oil phase into the water phase and drags oil with it, causing separation issues. The resulting separation problems constrained available storage capacity, which in turn required offshore to shut in or curtail operations, which causes additional flaring. Sable has since replaced the pump and made other improvements to scale inhibition and scale inhibitor injection, and the separation issue has been resolved. Thirdly, there are four sweet wells, that is, wells that provide low sulfur produced gas in the sandstone formation for Heritage. These sweet wells have historically been used to provide fuel gas to the central process heater to provide heat for the produced gas conditioning system. Gas conditioning involves removing the water and the heavier hydrocarbons from the produced gas prior to transportation to shore. Sable has been unable to reestablish sweet well production despite multiple attempts to stimulate the well. We were extremely surprised by this due to our diligent research and studies during the recommissioning phase. Although the gas pipeline to shore is now transporting Harmony gas, Heritage gas, which is unconditioned, cannot be sent to shore. This is because liquids in the unconditioned gas would condense in the pipeline during transportation. Heritage produced gas that cannot be reinjected into the formation must be flared for safety, environmental, and regulatory compliance issues. When the gas cannot be sent to shore or used as fuel, there is a careful balance that must be met between the produced gas compressors and the reinjection compressors. Any time that these compressors are not synchronized, that is, more gas is coming out of the compressors that are bringing the gas out of the wells versus the reinjection compressors, the difference has to go to flare. The main correction action to reduce the unplanned flare volume at this point is to reestablish sweet gas production. With sweet gas production, gas conditioning can occur and the produced gas can be sent to shore instead of reinjected. Well work has commenced as of June 17th that is expected to stimulate flow of sweet gas. This is called the perforation job. Perforation job entails mobilizing wireline unit to Heritage. Perforation tools are sent on a wireline through the tubing, downhole, and into the casing, and additional holes are shot into the production liner to establish flow from a new portion of that same reservoir. This work requires coordination of three specialized vendors and assembly of a specialized equipment at the platform. Everything's run off the grid, and that work is in progress. These unanticipated occurrences were despite our diligence. Prior to the exceedance, Sable self-reported to the APCD to determine the proper compliance path. The variance petition was submitted on May 22nd, the same day that unplanned flaring was exceeded. Sable is now providing the following information to allow your board to make finding 2, part 2. Requiring immediate compliance would result in an arbitrary or unreasonable taking of property or the practical closing or elimination of a lawful business. For context, Heritage operates in accordance with Presidential Executive Order signed on March 13, 2026, that delegated authority to the United States Secretary of Energy under the Defense of Production Act of 1950, the DPA. Following this executive order, Sable was directed under a DPA order from the Department of Energy to prioritize and allocate pipeline transportation services of hydrocarbons to mitigate the energy's scarcity and supply disruption risks that are creating vulnerability for the supply of fuel to the United States military. Immediate compliance would hinder implementation of the DPA order. Further, immediate compliance would require Sable to shut in all its wells, to blow down, to drain all the equipment, and this process would take months, if not a year, well beyond the period of non-compliance addressed by this variant, and would foreclose use of Heritage during and after the variance period. Additionally, shutting in would not allow the resolution of the issues being experienced. Sable needed to be in operation to allow operations and maintenance teams to work through the issues that were causing the flaring. A shutdown would impose a severe, unreasonable economic burden on Sable due to the loss of production. Lost production due to the delays could be approximately $1.75 million per day. In addition, a shutdown would result in the inability to meet sales contract obligations, potential loss of goodwill with our business partners due to our inability to meet those sale contracts, and would disadvantage Sable within the oil and gas production market. In sum, the requiring immediate compliance under these circumstances result in an unreasonable and arbitrary outcome that would effectively force a multi-month shutdown to address a very limited duration exceedance. Sable is providing the following information to allow your board to make finding 3. Such takings is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. If Heritage were required to come in to immediately comply, the platform would need to completely shut down. Substantial flaring emissions would result from this depressurization of each vessel and isolating the wells as part of the shutdown. The estimated excess emissions at the end of the second quarter for combined NOx, ROC, and PM is 0.48 tons and 0.72 tons of CO. On July 1st, at the start of the new quarter, the facility will be back in compliance. That means the total period of non-compliance will be 40 days. Heritage is located on the outer continental shelf, well removed from any residential populations, and Sable is not aware of any nuisance complaints to the district related to this unplanned flaring. Sable is providing the following information to allow your board to make finding 4. The applicant has considered curtailing operations in lieu of seeking a variance. Sable considered curtailment alternatives to achieve compliance, including reducing offshore production, partial well shut-in, and full platform shut-in. Sable concluded that these alternatives would not meaningfully reduce the unplanned flaring addressed by this variance, and in some cases would increase flaring. For the economic and practical issues discussed earlier and the effectiveness of the curtailment options, we move forward with the variance petition. The curtailment alternatives considered were reducing production rates, which could cause more flaring, full platform shut-in depressurization, which would cause flaring, full platform depressurization and preservation. Although the excess flaring is associated with production-related condition, the reality is that curtailing would result in more, not less, emissions. Lower throughputs can destabilize the compressor operations, magnify variability in individual well behavior, and cause compressor trips that result in flaring. The platform is designed to operate at normal throughputs. When production rates are curtailed, there is more fluctuation in the production, which inherently causes more flaring. The fluctuations are caused because fewer wells are in operation, and therefore the ups and downs in individual wells are more apparent and more felt. The reduction in gas production causes less reliability in the gas compressors because they may not be receiving the designed quantity of gas for operation. This causes compressors to shut down, which in turn causes flaring. A full platform shut-in and depressurization alternative would result in continued flaring because not all systems would be emptied and would therefore periodically flare. This alternative would require flaring during the depressurization of the platform. It would also require draining down of any system that could be of concern due to personnel safety, or mechanical integrity. This would be a complicated process, would take longer to accomplish in the various variance period, and would result in flaring both during the shut-in. During the shut-in and the restart. Okay. A full platform shut-in and preservation is the only alternative that would completely stop the flaring. This would encompass depressurizing and fully emptying all the vessels and pipelines. It would result in flaring during the depressurization and the emptying and preservation of the facility. This would be an extremely complicated process, would take months to a year to accomplish, and would result in flaring both during the shut-in and the restart. The flare is required to be used both to comply with various regulatory requirements, to not vent uncombusted produced gas to the atmosphere. Additionally, uncombusted produced gas would pose a significant safety threat to workers, the public, and the environment. Accordingly, we did not curtail operations in lieu of a variance because, one, shut-in operations would take longer than the variance period. Shut-in itself would cause additional flaring due to shut-in and restart activities, and it would prevent corrective actions necessary to ensure stable, compliant operations moving forward. Sable is providing the following information to allow your board to make finding 5. The applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. During the variance period, Sable will continue to take all reasonable actions to reduce excess emissions, including completing the reperforation campaign to restore sweet gas production, to continue to improve oil and water separation performance, to maximize available storage capacity onshore and minimize export pipeline downtime, stabilize compressor and reinjection balancing, and continue to continuously monitor flare flow. Sable is providing the following information to your board to make finding 6, monitoring and reporting emissions. Sable monitors the flare volumes on Heritage on a continuous basis using flare flow meters and an electronic recording system, and is prepared to supply this information in the variance report within 15 days of the end of the variance period. Sable proposes to also supply calculated emissions associated with the unplanned flaring based on unplanned flaring volumes and our permitted emission factors. Finding 7. Sable is providing the following information to allow your board to make finding 7, that we are not causing a public air nuisance. In addition to what we have stated, Sable is not aware of any nuisance complaints that have been filed with APCD as a result of this unplanned flaring. Again, the location of the source is approximately 8 miles from shore, and the estimated excess emissions would not inadvertently impact air quality. The granting of this variance is not expected to result in injury, detriment, nuisance, or annoyance to the public, and it's not expected to endanger the health or safety of the public or cause injury or damage to business or property. Finally, in conclusion, in an effort to reduce unplanned flaring have been discussed earlier. As I have described, unforeseen operation challenges arose during restart that have cumulatively resulted in an exceedance of the quarterly flaring emissions. Each of the issues were addressed separately and expeditiously. Sable continues to resolve the lack of sweet gas by the reperforation campaign currently in progress. Sable will return to compliance at the start of the third calendar quarter on July 1st. Sable is confident that the unplanned flaring will remain within permitted limits during the third quarter. Sable's expectation of this is based on completing the completed equipment repairs, the improved separation control, the ongoing effort to deliver sweet gas, and efforts to stabilize restart operations. For all of these reasons, Sable respectfully requests, Chair Dressler, that you make the findings required under California Health and Safety Code 42352 and grant the pending petition. Thank you.
Before we go to the district, I have one question. Did you indicate that a shutdown of the platform would result in more flaring emissions than the excess emissions from the unplanned flaring that you've experienced?
During the variance period?
If you had to shut down the platform. If you shut down the platform in lieu of getting a variance, would the emissions from the depressurization of the platform result in more emissions than the excess emissions from the unplanned flaring?
Yes, because we couldn't just depressurize it. I mean, you can't. If we just depressurized it, it would not solve the flaring problem because it's still like all the vessels are still filled with liquid, and we can't leave it that way. So you'd also have to go through the exercise of draining different vessels, which involves flaring and things like that as well.
So the overall emissions would be greater than the emissions.
That's my understanding. Yes, that's my understanding. Yes, I mean, yeah.
Now I'd like the district. Does the district have any comments on this?
Yes, I did want to clarify one thing for the record. As I mentioned earlier, during the hearing for the interim variance for this issue, it was clarified that the variance coverage is only needed through the end of the quarter and not through August 20th, as was identified in the petition. Therefore, consistent with the approved interim variance, the district recommends that the variance coverage period for this 90-day variance only extend through June 30th, and this is reflected in the draft variance that was posted to the 90-day variance webpage. I also had one more question for Sable regarding the determination of the second finding. I was wondering I want to clarify that was it possible to send gas that was conditioned through the pipeline to onshore during the whole period after the platform heritage was started up?
Well, we weren't able to condition the gas.
Yeah, zero.
We don't have any conditioned gas because we don't have fuel.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. At this time, I'm going to open public comment. And I guess we have speaker slips. And so the way this is going to work is that, well, I'll let Amy.
Okay, sure. This is Amy Long of the district. We received 4 written public comments. The first one was received by Jeremy Nichols from the Center of Biological Diversity. The second one was received by Val Vu with Stoll Rives, LLP. The third was received from Brady Bradshaw from the Center for Biological Diversity on behalf of 18 groups. The fourth was received by Thomas Becker. These public comments have all been distributed to the interested parties. We also received 5 speaker slips. I'll go ahead and call the first person up. I think this is up to you, Terry.
Okay. The clerk will proceed calling up the members for one or two public comment. I would hopefully you could keep your comments brief, no more than 3 minutes. You have to go over 3 minutes since there's not a lot of commenters. There's 5 commenters. We could probably go over a little bit, but we will have a timekeeper here, and he'll let me know when time is up, and if I'm not going to be real stickler about it, but and also if you come up and somebody has already made the comments that you would like to make, instead of repeating them, simply refer to comments that have already been made and say that you agree would help save time as well. Amy, why don't you call the first speaker?
Sure. The first person is Irene Cook with the Society of Fearless Grandmothers of Santa Barbara. Irene, if you could come over here, that would be great. We do have a microphone over here.
Should we move?
No, you guys are fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Irene Cook. I live in Goleta. I don't have prepared remarks, but I'm a signatory on the letter from Brady Bradshaw. I have followed this company through years of finagling to get around regulations and to get away with polluting our county. And I am getting worn out with listening to their excuses and their their failure to do anything by the book. So I again just want to reiterate the points that were made in the letter from Brady Bradshaw.
Thank you. Next speaker, Amy.
Next speaker is Katie Davis of the Sierra Club. Hello. First, I want you to be cautious about this claim that the flaring would be greater if they don't get the variance, because this is they have to shut down the platform. That's a one-time release as opposed to this ongoing thing. And they're claiming, well, we weren't able to start the production. We aren't able to treat the gas. We aren't able to get it to shore, but we're sure we'll be able to do it soon. And so it'll be shorter, you know. But actually, this is an ongoing problem. As long as they can't move the gas, you're going to have these flaring. You're going to have this excess in variance. So that's going to be longer than just a one-time shutdown. I think that's very important. I have served on the APCD CAC, the Community Advisory Council, for many, many years. And I was appointed on behalf of the city of Santa Barbara by two consecutive mayors who ran against each other. But one thing they agree on, and the city of Santa Barbara and all of the coastal counties, is opposition to offshore oil because of the risk of spills, but also the air pollution. And this is also true with other cities on the coast. And it would be one thing if this was a lawful operator who had all their permits and had done everything according to the law. This is not. Sable has had 21 criminal counts filed against them by the Santa Barbara County District Attorney and the State Attorney General. And the Santa Barbara County refused to grant the permits for the onshore facilities, a transfer from Exxon to Sable, because of all of their violations. And that vote included one of the most pro-oil supervisors that we have, that has never voted against oil before, because of this very egregious violations and acting outside of the law. They're operating these facilities despite court injunctions and cease and desist orders. They are operating these facilities despite Coastal Commission fines of $18 million, which they haven't paid because of their criminal violations and insistence on continuing to operate despite not complying with the consent decree. They don't have permission to go through state parks, that pipeline. They are an egregious company in terms of their level of violations. Now, I have served on the APCD CAC with many oil employees, and I understand they're there to try to influence the rules. I have never, until Sable, felt that they wouldn't comply with those rules. But with Sable is a different animal, and I don't think we can offer them variances or room or this kind of wiggle room, because they you cannot trust what they're saying or that they will follow the law. I will say it is, so they're not a lawful company. There also is a huge public health impact. And yes, you don't see this air pollution, but it is here. These pollutants can travel 100 miles, particulate matter, in this room where we are. This excess pollution is affecting us now. Burning, flaring methane gas, burning gas, produces benzene. Benzene causes leukemia. I mean, this is a real thing. My father was just diagnosed with leukemia last week. And so I know this is a real impact on our community. For someone that age, it is a death sentence. these are real impacts when you're increasing the pollution burden in this region. Particulate matter, also a silent killer. So yes, you don't get complaints, but it is increasing the pollution burden, and they're asking to continue to do it because they don't know whether they're going to ever be able to return this, move the gas through the pipeline. We cannot allow this. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Terry Quinn with the Sierra Club.
Hi, thank you, Board, for taking the time to listen to us. So I'm going to not repeat everything Katie said because I agree with everything she just said. So the only thing I would add is Sable has not earned the right to ask for any kind of leniency when it comes to local or state laws, because as Katie said pretty eloquently, they have ignored every state and local ruling and laws that have come out against them, which again has been numerous. So they need to start following the rules of this county and this state, and they need to do that now. So I would urge the board to not grant them the extension, because again, they've shown a complete disregard for any local agency as well as the community in general. So they need to start following the rules that every other company and every other entity in the state and the county needs to follow. So thanks for listening.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Linda Croft from EDC, Sierra Club, GU, SBC, AN, SBC, KR?
I was trying to use initials. Good afternoon. Linda Croft, Chief Counsel of the Environmental Defense Center, on behalf of Get Oil Out, Sierra Club, Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, Santa Barbara County Action Network, and EDC. We respectfully request denial of Zabel's petition for a variance. The findings required by Health and Safety Code Section 42352 cannot be made, and I want to emphasize that findings can't be made based on conclusory statements. Findings have to be based on empirical evidence, and we haven't heard or seen any data, any calculations, you know, any numbers, any comparisons. We've just heard conclusory statements that cannot support findings. So first, the findings required by Section 8.2 cannot be made. There is no evidence that the conditions leading to the unpermitted flaring are beyond the reasonable control of Sable, and as was stated previously, just stating what the problems are doesn't prove that they were beyond Sable's control, and there is a history of many regulatory violations that have been under Sable's control in their 2.5 years of operations. Second, there's no evidence that requiring immediate compliance would result in an arbitrary or unreasonable taking. This is a very high standard. So first, there's no taking because Sable is in violation of a permit. That's a legal matter. And as a factual matter, Sable is still operating its other two platforms. So there's no evidence that denial would result in the closure or elimination of Sable's business or result in a taking because it is still operating two of the three platforms in the San Ynez unit. The findings required by A3 also cannot be made. There's no evidence that requiring compliance would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. And again, they can't just say it would be worse. There has to be evidence to support that. There's no quantitative analysis here of the emissions that would result with the variance compared to the emissions without the variance. The findings in A4 also cannot be made. Sable's petition itself states that it has not considered curtailment. I'll quote from the petition. 5E, curtailment of production has not been considered as it would not necessarily reduce the volume of flaring. So there's no evidence that they considered curtailment, and there's no data why that would not be feasible. nor can the findings required by A5 be made. There is no evidence that Sable will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible, and again, there's no data to support that. So in addition to those findings, the district has to make findings pursuant to section 42352.5, including whether requiring immediate compliance would cause an unreasonable burden on Sable, what their financial and other capabilities to comply are, and the impact on their business compared to the benefit to the environment if they are required to comply. And again, there's been no analysis, data, or evaluation. Furthermore, the district must assess, pursuant to section 41700, whether the excess emissions will cause injury, detriment, nuisance, or annoyance to the public, or will endanger the comfort, repose, health, or safety of the public. In doing so, the district needs to assess the specific type and amount of excess emissions, a comparison to the emissions allowed in Sable's permit, a comparison of the emissions sought by the petition for variance versus the emissions that would occur during shutdown, the impact of the excess emissions beyond what has previously been analyzed in the permit, and the effect on the district's compliance with standards. Finally, the district has not considered appropriate conditions, including emission offsets and or other mitigation, requiring increments of progress and associated timeline, and or a performance bond as set forth in section 42355, and the ABCD Hearing Board Policies and Procedures, Section 2. In sum, Sable's petition must be denied because Sable has not demonstrated and the district has not ascertained the need for a variance, that the conditions leading to the excess emissions were beyond Sable's control, that it is not feasible for Sable to curtail emission operations and fix the problem rather than apply for a variance, and that Sable has taken steps to reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Accordingly, we respectfully request that Sable's petition be denied and that Sable be required to come into immediate compliance. Such action will not result in a taking because Sable is violating its permit conditions and is still able to operate its two other platforms. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
The last speaker slip I have is for Molly Troop with Santa Barbara Channel Keepers.
Good afternoon, Chair Dressler. My name is Molly Troop. I'm the Science and Program Manager at Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. We're an environmental nonprofit represented by Environmental Defense Center, as Linda mentioned. And I don't have much to add, as the speakers who spoke before me were very thorough. I just want to also be here and request that the APCD does deny the application for a variance for these for the air pollution permit rules. We were concerned about the unexpected number of equipment malfunctions, and from what I heard, there wasn't any real evidence that those will be met or fixed by July 1st, as stated. And I don't understand if, or that this could be fixed and this company be brought into compliance, as they stated. They, as stated before, often are exceeding or are not meeting permit conditions. There's plenty of evidence that's been shared today, and so we remain concerned about that, and we'd love to see this request to be denied today. Thank you.
Thank you.
No other speaker slips received.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Hearing none, I will close the public comment period. Okay, so I would like to ask the district one question before I go on to the findings. Does the district support this variance?
Yes, the district supports the variance based on the testimony received today.
Thank you. I'm going to go down the findings one at a time. and explain my reason for the decision I'm about to make. Finding number one is very clear. I heard under oath the petitioner admit that they had exceeded the quarterly unplanned flaring limits, which is the which is the issue at hand. So I can make finding number one. Finding number two, that the conditions were beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner. The evidence that I heard today, and the petitioner went into the exhaustive detail about everything that they did in order to prevent the situation from happening, in order for the startup of Platform Heritage to go smoothly and have the unplanned flaring not exceed the limits that exist in the permit. And so for the unforeseen things that happened, despite all the experts that were on the platform, it seems to me reasonable to conclude that Sable took the actions, took very proactive actions in order to prevent this from happening, and and it happened anyway through you know, failures of equipment that they did not foresee. The arbitrary and unreasonable taking is always a hard finding to make. And I don't know if I've ever explicitly made that finding before in a hearing board setting, because I don't think the requiring compliance has actually ever gone so far as to result in a take, you know, in the absolutely the taking of the property. However, the practical closing and elimination of a lawful business in this case would be the shutdown of Platform Heritage. And apparently, from the testimony I heard today, that the only way that they could have possibly brought the not exceeded the quarterly limits would have been to shut down the platform. Shutting down the platform was a very complex operation that could have, that very well had probably would have resulted in even more emissions than the excess emissions from the unplanned flaring. And not only that, but it would have shut Heritage down, which would have been the closing and elimination of a permitted, from an air pollution standpoint, a permitted business. So I can make finding two. Finding three, the closing or taking would have been without any corresponding benefit of reducing air contaminants. The excess emissions that were over the limit of the unplanned flaring were measured and documented. I did not hear any specific estimates as to what the excess emissions would be if they had shut the entire facility down and had to depressurize all of the equipment. However, it goes to reason that that would have been a much greater much greater volume of gas that would have had to have been flared than the amount of gas that went over the unplanned flaring limits of the permit. And so it would seem to me that shutting down that platform at this point would cause a lot more air pollution than excess air pollution than the amount that for which they are seeking relief. So I can make finding number three. Finding number four, that the petitioner has given considered curtailing. I heard the petitioner testify under oath a long list of curtailment options that they considered, and that each one of those curtailing options would have caused more and not less air pollution than the excess unplanned air. And so I can make finding number four. Finding number five. During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. I heard them say that they would do that. And also they listed actions that they would take to bring that about. So I can make finding number five. Finding number six. During the period of variance is in effect, the petitioner will monitor and otherwise quantify emission levels from the source if requested to do so by the district and report these emission levels to the district pursuant to the schedule established by the district. And that is going to be part of the final variance for this, so I can make finding number six. I also do not see any indication that the excess flaring emissions that have occurred in this quarter from Sable have caused a public nuisance. Based on the fact that I've made these findings, I'm granting Sable their requested variance, which will end on June 30th.
Thank you.
Are there any other items before this hearing board today?
We do not have anything further for the hearing board.
Hearing none, I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you, Chair Dressler.